Welcome to the home of fantasy football's hot stove. It's the all-purpose Roto Fantasy Football Show. Let's go.
All-purpose Roto brings the hot stove every Saturday, but we're two Sundays in a row. What's going on, man?
Off-season, and Steph Curry is ruining my life. I watched that game last night, and I still don't really know what happened.
Golden State, you know, my son hates the Warriors' three-point strategy, but I just think it's amazing what that guy can do.
Yeah, he hit a game winner from 35 feet, and it's pretty much everyone knew it was going in. If you watch the Thunder bench, they like audibly are just like, you can just see it on him. As soon as he pulls up, they knew that it was over. That was a great game. A phenomenal game.
I think this little basketball is like seasoning to us for our football season. I think it's real good that we kind of at least have some tacit awareness that there's other things besides football. Well, sort of not, but there is. But so the hot stove, usually on Saturdays, we're here Sunday this week because we just want to give you that full show feeling. Chris, I want to hit you right up with Philip Dorsett. They're already talking about him replacing Andre Johnson in third wide receiver sets. We liked the rookie last year. He showed some stuff despite horrific quarterback situation. What kind of future do you see for Dorsett in that Cole offense that's going to have to move the ball again?
So he would be, what do we think he would be? At best, the fourth option in most circumstances?
No, I think he's the third.
Leaner?
No. If he stays there, which I think he will, I think he'll still be the fourth. I think Lux, they're going to air it out this week. I think it's three wide receivers, boom, 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 every week.
Yeah, but they're still going to have a tight end on the field.
Yeah. I don't know. It's not working very well for him. Both are free agents.
I mean, last year it wasn't, but remember how hot Fleener ended in 2014?
Yeah, when Allen was out, it was fantastic. But, you know, maybe Ursay's going to decide to put Frank Gore tight end this year.
I don't think so, but I mean, Dwayne Allen's
fourth.
Dwayne Allen's as good as gone.
Yes, I agree.
And it's very hard for a team that has two good wide receivers to milk value out of a third wide receiver as well. Remember when?
It's true.
I mean, was it LaFell or who was it exactly?
Yeah, the number three guy, it's tough. It's tough with a decent tight end. It's near impossible, right?
Yeah, even the Patriots, when I'm trying to remember who the third wide receiver who they brought in with Moss and Welker was. But in any case, it's very, very hard for there to be a ton of guys who the last team basically was the Colts with like Brandon Stokley. When Brandon Stokley had a great year along with Harrison and Reggie Wayne.
Yes, that's absolutely true. Okay, so Dorsett kind of still an awareness player for injury, but other than that, he's going to have limited value being the fourth option. I can't disagree with you there. Speaking of those Colt tight ends, Kobe Fleener and, of course, Dwayne Allen, free agents. Most people are expecting them to sign Fleener and let Allen go. So two things there, Chris. Allen, man, he's a huge upgrade to what the Giants have. So is he going to find a landing home? One. And two, because they have Jack Doyle there to replace Allen, I don't think the Colts miss a beat with that tight end package.
Dwayne Allen's really good when he's healthy. When he's healthy, he's had one healthy year, I'd say. And it's been tough, but he's a good player when he's out there. So in the sense that, you know, he's not out there as often as he should be, so they won't necessarily miss him. I can see that. But under ideal circumstances, when Dwayne Allen's playing, he's very good.
You like him as a potential for the Giants. I see him as a huge upgrade to what they've been doing.
I mean, I have no idea where he's going to go.
I
haven't heard anything. I know that people are kind of saying Pittsburgh maybe would be a good fit. And, you know, a short deal for reasonable money might be good to rehab his value. And a place like Pittsburgh, I mean, if you're Dwayne Allen, where would you rather play, the Giants or Pittsburgh?
Yeah, Pittsburgh, that's easy. Okay, I'm with you. It's fun to speculate that stuff. Our show, we don't spend a lot of time on that because, like Chris said, you're just throwing darts at a wall and we usually get surprised. But Allen could be a tight end that we all talk about depending on his landing spot. Well, I'm sure he will be. NFL's Ian Rappaport, of course, reporting the Saints nationally I suspected the Giants. We're talking about speculation again, but this is a free agent again. James Laurinaitis probably going to the Saints for a visit. You know, he has not missed a start since drafted in the second round of 2009.
Yeah, he had an off year last year.
Yeah, it was bad, I know. But what do you think? Saints, that's nice.
I don't know. They're also getting on Hard Knocks.
Oh, are they really?
Yeah.
That's never good.
Yeah.
Hardy guy, though.
It's good. It's good and bad. But Laurinaitis, I mean, good tackle guy for IDP numbers. So, I mean, he probably still has another year or two left of kind of coasting on his reputation. So he could have a nice year this year, but just not. I don't think that it moves the needle very much for those guys. However, Brandon, it's not going to make him very much better. He was a terrible linebacker last year.
Last year he was terrible, but what did the Saints have? So I'm just saying.
Yeah, I don't think he'll be good for stats, pick him up an IDP, but as far as making their defense better, he's not going to make them better. Brandon Cooks is probably going to be drafted round to two rounds too high, though, because of the Hard Knocks thing.
Oh, that's true. So he's all but off. He's all but off our teams because he already was a bit overvalued. And now, we'll get to that player later. There's another player on this team, too. So that is interesting. Throwing Hard Knocks, it does change a few things out there. Rappaport, who we also, of course, watch and we like his work, he talked earlier before the combine started that the Eagles were going to listen to trade offers for DeMarco Murray, which really surprised people after Murray said he was all in and the Eagles said we love each other. But, of course, combine whispers came out. They were talking to teams. He is unhappy in Philly. An affinity for Dallas. Ryan Matthews is there. Chris, could Murray move?
No.
Okay. Next item. John Fox believes.
His contract is too bad. They can't move him. It wouldn't be advantageous for.
He might be willing.
No. It's guaranteed money. The way that that works is he cannot get rid of guarantee money. He signed the contract. The Eagles offered him the contract. He's there this year. That's unless they want to take a pretty aggressive cap hit, which I don't see why they would.
I think he's going to move on. John Fox, coach, Chicago Bears, of course, all the hype. This guy has actually been moving up mock drafts this season already into early second round territory. He says Jeremy Langford is a complete back, quote, praise him for his hands and pass protection. The GM in Chicago also going glory and glory how great this guy is. What do you think about Langford?
I think that it's way too high.
Yeah.
I think this is way too high of a position for him. You know, second round, man.
Really? I know. Like, yeah.
I mean,
skyrocketing up boards.
His statistics were great last year. His yards per carry was not great. It was basically because there was no competition for him that he did so well. And I'm interested to see what they do at running back this offseason. Obviously, they're going to let Forte go.
Yeah.
But if they don't add another guy, I'm going to really like Kadeem Carey.
I think Kadeem Carey is a great guy to target. If this continues to play out like this, I think you're exactly on. I think you also have to temper what you're looking at with what this offense does with Adam Gase exiting and with two guys named Jeffrey and the rookie Kevin White coming back this year. There's going to be a lot of passing on this team.
Which isn't necessarily a good thing because, as you said, Adam Gase is gone and he's the Jay Cutler whisperer.
Yeah.
That's not great. It's not a great situation.
Chiefs GM Chris John Dorsey says he can only retain Chase Daniel at the right price. I talked about this guy a couple weeks ago in the quarterback starved league. Do you think Daniel could be drafted on fantasy draft boards this year?
Yeah, I think he's going to be the starter for the Eagles.
Wow. What do you think of him there?
I mean, I don't think he's the worst backup quarterback in the league. We haven't really seen enough of him. He's backed up two decent situations, so I think it'll be fun to see him go and give it a shot. I thought that Bill Barnwell on ESPN wrote a great article this week about how this could be pretty much the most intriguing quarterback free agent class since that Culpepper Drew Brees year way back when, with you know, potentially Kirk Cousins, but it looks like they're going to franchise him. Robert Griffin, definitely out there. Chase Daniels out there. And Brock Osweiler, potentially out there. Yeah. So it's rare that you have a guy who you could actually hypothetically plug in as a starter that you sign from free agency for quarterbacks. They don't usually, other teams don't usually let those guys get away, but Kansas City, it's kind of cost prohibitive for them to bring him back because he could be paid like a low rung starter at this point.
Yeah, that's what I think they expect to see. I think they have needs there on a team that can threaten paying a lot of money for a backup quarterback will be tough. The Redskins GM, though, said, quote, he's very comfortable with Matt Jones fighting for that number one job. We all know that. But it's the quote from Gruden I kind of like, Chris. Quote from the coach, he's a big physical runner. They both harped on Jones. And then, quote, he said, yeah, he had ball security issues, so a fumble-rific rookie campaign. Chris, this guy's not an ironclad lock, as we've said from ESPN, but Alfred Morris is probably gone. Even if he's there, I think Morris will be the two on every down. What do you think about Jones's draft position come August?
I meant to look it up. I think I heard that Matt Jones had a procedure to clean something up.
He did. He had surgery on his groin, I believe.
Yeah. So
he was playing hurt.
Yep. Wasn't great this year. Certainly struggled. Offensive line at times struggled as well. It's not like Alfred Morris was tearing it up when he was out there either. Ironically, for where I have to draft Jeremy Langford versus where I have to draft Matt Jones, I'd probably rather have Matt Jones in the, you know, 6th, 7th, 8th round than Langford in the 2nd.
Langford or Carlos Williams?
Once again, just because I can wait to draft Carlos Williams. I'd rather draft Carlos Williams.
Yeah, you can't. You gotta, like you always say, you're harping right in with what the pros say. You know, look at the value of what you're getting, where you're getting it.
Just because you're low on this player, I want to hear your take. Langford or Carlos Hyde?
Oh, it's tough because I got a little nugget on Hyde. Yeah. I would take Hyde.
Yeah, yeah, okay. And that's pretty much right in the neighborhood of Hyde. So
yeah,
I agree vehemently.
Okay, nice. I like that. Well, Hyde's
violently. I violently agree.
He stays healthy, and that team. The nice thing about Hyde this year, the team needs him. He's a big part of the offense. So
absolutely.
Hey, a player. Speaking of players on the down low, Ravens have signed running back. Can you guess?
Go ahead.
Trent Richardson.
I think that's something else other than the down low. To be totally honest with you, whatever Trent Richardson is.
It's his final shot. Ozzie Newsome is a, let's call him a player whisperer. You know, he's had some massive hits there as the GM of the Ravens. Let's admit it. I mean, this guy has had some great picks, great free agent finds, and has put together some good football. What do you think? Is it a good risk?
Law of averages says that because they had such a terrible year last year that Ozzie's going to hit it out of the park this year probably.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm not taking Trent Richardson. It's funny.
18th round?
No.
Not even in the 18th? See, I would take him in the 18th. No. He sticks through summer, and he's there on our boards. I mean, it's been a long time since that nice rookie year 2012, though, hasn't it?
It has been. And I've talked to you about it, that Justin Forsett fallen a little bit. I don't mind him as a bounce back with Buck Allen just getting so much love.
Yeah, and they're already talking about him coming back, and they want him back. So that's interesting to listen to the head coach talk about that at the combine. Keenan Allen fully recovered, one of your favorite players from that lacerated kidney. GM for the Chargers, of course, saying Allen's participating fully in the offseason program. He's only 24 years old. That guy is, and I love this quote. This is from Lindsey Jones on Twitter. No, it's not a quote, but I mean, it's a stat. Allen's only 8 months older than incoming rookie Josh Dotson.
Yeah, and I do really hope that they get another player to kind of solidify that wide receiving core.
They need it.
And, you know, they had horrific luck around the offensive line as far as injuries go. It was bad. It was really bad this year. But, you know, C.B. Johnson, nice complimentary piece to Keenan Allen. They could use one more guy who's a nice piece. Yeah. I'm not saying an all-star.
No, good player. Right?
If you can, you know, if you want to take Treadwell in the draft, I wouldn't besmirch you, I guess. I think that's a little high for him, but but if they did, it would certainly help their offense. But they have such a high pick. It's going to be really fun to see what they do with that team because that's a team that, you know, Rivers had a pretty great fantasy season. He trailed off a little bit towards the end of the year at times, but he had a pretty great year. And I'm excited to see what he does in this offense next year. He's got Wisenhunt back with Reich gone. And, you know, that's a team that when they're right, Philip Rivers is pretty deadly.
Oh, they're fantasy gold. I hear you. Miami Herald, talking to new Dolphin head coach Adam Gase, said he, quote, loves Devontae Parker's skill set. He has great hands, big body, excited to see what he can do in his offense. Hey, Gase did pretty good with Demaryius Thomas a few years ago, Alshon Jeffrey in Chicago. Parker's a 6'3 guy, Chris. How big is this? How high is the ceiling on Parker this year?
At some point, I'm going to have to talk to you because with Gase there and some stuff that I've been reading, I really like Tannehill this year. I like Tannehill and I like Parker quite a bit. As long as they can kind of navigate this free agent period, make themselves a little bit better than they were last year, I think they have a real shot at being really nice fantasy players this year. I meant to text you about this so that you could pick it up, but Kian Fahey from Football Outsiders, he put out his nice little PDF that he does every year called Pre-Snap Reads. It's the
I love that
the quarterback analysis. So he basically watches every single snap from every single quarterback and charts things as whether their pass was on target, if they missed a guy. It's pretty interesting. And one thing that he does is interceptable passes, which I think is fascinating, that he tracks every single interceptable pass that a quarterback throws, which means basically even if a defensive back stumbles when he was breaking on a ball, Kian counts that as an interceptable pass because it should have been intercepted conceivably. Or if an interception is dropped, he counts that as an interceptable pass. Who do you think led the league in interceptable passes last year?
Led the league in throwing the most interceptable pass?
Yes.
Well, I'm not going to say Tannehill now based on our lead. And who was it?
Carson Palmer.
Oh, my gosh.
31 interceptable passes.
Oh, my gosh.
And the next two, any guesses as to who the next two or three are?
Well, Manning, just depends on how many passes he threw. It had to be Manning.
He is just outside the top five, but what's funny is on a per game basis, he probably led the league because he missed so many games.
He missed so many games. So who's two?
Number two is a tie between Ryan Fitzpatrick and Blake Bortles.
That's interesting. I have been reading some negative stuff on Bortles. I mean, a lot of people are high on that Jaggy offense right now, but I've heard we better temper our expectations.
And then tied at third, Jameis Winston and Kirk Cousins.
Both very believable.
26.
Both, so. They're going to be heavily overdrafted. Remember where Carson Palmer went off this year, folks. It's up on the webpage, too, about quarterback drafting. No need to draft quarterback rounds 3 through 6. Just zero need. I want to go into another player that you've talked about for a couple years, and this was really fascinating to me. Staying with Adam Gase, he's praising Kenny Stills for his vertical speed. And he revealed the Bears were trying to trade for Stills before he was acquired by the Dolphins last year.
Kenny would probably like it if you called him Kenny Skills, so it's okay if you accidentally say that. I don't blame them. He's a good downfield threat, and I think that the Dolphins should have used him more last year. I think that signing Jennings and not just using Stills in that role was kind of short-sighted.
So Jennings will go away, and Rashard Matthews is likely going to leave for money. So Stills is going to be in a good spot here.
No, and, you know, just one more time for people. We're not affiliated with Kian or anything like that, but Kian Fahey, Pre-Snap Reads, Quarterback Catalog, $10 for the PDF. The Tannehill chapter I thought was pretty interesting and really kind of changed my mind on him as a nice quarterback, too, for 2016 and made me more excited about that Dolphin offense. We'll see how if they can keep Miller, because that's pretty important. But I think that Gase can really kind of make this offense hum.
As long as he stays on offense and he has a good supporting coaching staff so he doesn't have to look at the whole thing. We've seen that before. Great coordinators struggle running the whole team. That's a much bigger job. Contract years, Chris, we've learned to kind of temper that. Just because a guy's in a contract year doesn't mean something. You kind of have to look at the player's age, what contract he's in, and his situation. And this player, I think you're very interested in that he's a contract year player. And that's Michael Floyd. The Cardinals GM says, hey, we need to look at addressing an extension for our contract year player, Michael Floyd. Floyd posted 3 100-yard games in his last 5 games. What do you think about Floyd in 2016?
Yeah, he was a monster down the stretch last year. He was their number one wide receiver with Fitzgerald as a very, very, very serviceable and great second option. That's the one thing that even though Palmer not great numbers last year, when you look at stuff like the interceptable passes, obviously his touchdowns and total yards were great, but we're predicting probably a little bit of a regression for him in 2016.
Yep.
That being said, those three guys are so talented that it'll cover some of that up for him, and I think he'll still have a nice year.
Staying with those Cardinals, Coach Bruce Arians has said David Johnson, quote, has a chance to be one of the all-time best. GM Steve Keim said last week, it's, quote, scary to think how good this 24-year-old can be. They expect him to take over to be the bell cow. They expect him to take 20 touches a game. Man, he's up in the Le'Veon Bell, Todd Gurley, Adrian Peterson. That's right from Kent Summers on Twitter. He's right in that discussion already. And I know it's early on these mock drafts. We have a lot of weird influences and people are kind of goofing off in there. But he's another guy, Chris. Second round every draft.
I think he's worth it versus Langford. I think that
he's... Oh, yes. Much better than Langford.
Yeah.
Much.
And I would gladly take... Five times. I would take him in the second round. I would take Hyatt in the second round as well. I think... The thing that you need to keep in mind with David Johnson is, like, even before Chris Johnson got injured, this guy had double-digit touchdowns with very limited touches. He was just scoring touchdowns every time he touched the ball. He didn't get overworked in his rookie year, so he didn't hit the rookie wall. We're not really concerned with any injuries. That offensive line should get better this offseason. It was serviceable last year, and I think it'll get incrementally better. He's got a nice passing attack to complement him.
He does.
I really think, and not to mention, he's got a nice passing attack, and he's a good receiver. He showed last year he's a pretty good receiver.
Yeah, he, I was talking with three guys before, I think it wasn't yesterday, before the quarterback workouts. But something, I think it was on Friday, running back workouts, we were talking, and all of a sudden David Johnson names came up. And we started talking about, we recalled, and I didn't remember this during the season. I wanted to kick myself for it. David Johnson's workouts at the combine last year were crazy. And if you haven't watched this guy just running in shorts on a 40, go take a look at the combine history. Go David Johnson workout combine. He's a beast. I should have drafted him in every league last year. I don't know what I was doing. Moving on to Tampa, your favorite coordinator who you're a little concerned about, Dirk Koetter, said Charles Sims can be an every down back if need be.
Yeah, which I don't think is exactly a ringing endorsement for him to be the lead back. I think he's still going to be a compliment for now. But in case of injury, he's a nice guy to have.
So you thinking they're going to keep Martin?
I don't know if they're going to keep Martin, but even if they let him walk, I think they're going to address it with someone else.
I think they're going to have to, because they're not. I don't think they're going to keep Martin. Martin's going to go for big bucks. He's running backs. His agent's going to tell him it's kind of like being the darling at the parade, right?
I mean, Doug Martin was so good last year that it's not as if Tampa's cap situation is stopping them from re-signing.
No, they can do it if they wanted to. It's a question of, do they want to?
Yeah, I don't understand why they wouldn't. Like, where else are you going to spend that money?
I'd spend the money on some of these players I'm about to mention. I'm going to put an article up on the webpage I started working on today, Chris. This free agent class, you know what suddenly dawned on me about a week ago when I started looking at these players closer? This free agent class, there are some defenders that a team can take a tipping point defense. You know, a defense is just on the edge of being very effective, and I think they can make their defense into the top 10 or 12. There are some outstanding defenders available out here. And I'm not talking about the big names like Von Miller, who's going to stay in Denver. I'm talking about guys like Olivier Vernon, Bruce Irvin, who's a very serviceable pass rush linebacker, Janoris Jenkins, because the Rams aren't going to be able to keep him, and Tremaine Johnson, Sean Smith, the cornerback in Kansas City, Jay Howard, an awesome defensive tackle in Kansas City. And if you get the right position, the right situation, Greg Hardy can have an impact on the team if they can keep him straight. Rashard Johnson is a stud in Arizona as a safety. There are a lot of guys, Chris, on this defensive free agent list that can really make defenses better. And there's teams that can afford two of these guys.
We'll see. I don't.
We'll see. No, it's yes.
Well, you were saying when Tampa specifically, and I think.
Well, that, I mean, in general,
I think that Tampa is. They should be careful because they have the makings of a pretty decent defense. And I think interjecting too many new guys might be hurtful. I'll put it that way. And don't, you can't really quantify with how important Doug Martin was to them. Guys don't like to see fellow teammates not rewarded when they have a great year. And you have the cap room. You could buy some cachet with the rest of your team. I think that you sign them to a 2 or 3 year deal. And you can, guess what? You can still add quite a few of those guys because you have like 60 or 70 million in cap room.
A lot of money. They have a heck of a nice young wide receiver, Mike Evans. They've got ASJ, they got Winston at quarterback, who they believe is their franchise guy. I'm just saying, and not specifically to Tampa. I want to go back to my comment about these players, Chris. Do you believe a team, if we watch these, there's about 20 that I would call grade A starters that are going to go to new teams. If a team can get two of these guys to help them, do you think that has an impact on the fantasy value on the offense?
It depends on what else is there. I mean, if the Saints add two of these guys, then no, because their defense is terrible.
It's terrible anyways.
Yeah. But under the right circumstance, and this is why I'm coming to this, because we're wrapping up here.
Yeah.
But free agency is about to start. If big stuff happens, maybe you see a 10 or 15 minute podcast pop up in your feed where we talk about it. We have the technology to do that sort of thing, but we've done it in the past, and I think we should do it in the future because this should be a fun free agent period, right?
It's going to be fun. I'm going to track these guys on our webpage. And there's another guy, Damon Harrison, that nose tackle for the Jets. He gets no talk in the fantasy world, of course, but yet a huge run defender. If he goes to a new team, I think that's an impact player. I know we got to wrap up. Did you get to see any film yet on Fred Taylor's son, Kelvin? He looked a little slow, but he does look like a twin of his dad.
Small hands, I read, and all kinds of stuff. It was that we'll see where he goes.
Well, you know how fantasy players love that pedigree of NFL players, and he has some great games down there. So I think he's a player we're gonna have to watch. We'll talk about combine notes real soon. Quarterbacks, of course, were yesterday. They looked pretty good. I posted something on the webpage too about combine notes, just short one worders on guys. Anything you want to hit before I mention just – I wanted to mention my little Bob's rules for 2016.
Okay.
I'll just give you two of them. Number four, on draft day, if you love your team, you're in trouble. Agree, yes or no?
I mean, I don't think that's 100%.
Close.
But I kind of disagree with that one, but
it's probably because I'm feeling pretty burnt about last year having two teams I absolutely loved and then they both sucked.
Yeah, that's probably happen.
Okay.
That'll
so happen. Right after that, rule number five, anyone I want to do in case you have anything you want to add on draft day, if you don't like your team, you're looking good.
Yeah, no, I disagree with that too. I don't think. I guess what I would add is that never be too pleased with yourself. I guess that's is what right. I would say. Is the difference? Yeah. So I guess that's
okay. I'm sorry. I got to do two more because I know it's your favorite. Rule number seven: Bob Vision is right more often than not.
I disagree on that.
Rule number eight: Chris says Bob Vision belongs on the X-Files.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, this season of the X-Files, it definitely belongs on.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I'm good. Do you have anything else you want to add or talk about?
Nope. I'm good. All right.
I'm out of here.
At All Purpose Roto, allpurposeroto@gmail.com. We will see you guys soon.